This is Wooded Radio. In June of 1942, on a tiny island in the Pacific, thousands of American warriors fought to defend our way of life. Today, the names, faces, and even the place have all but been forgotten. Until now, the Battle of Midway Air Show Act could be coming to a city near you. See for yourself the passion, the history, and the heart-pounding drama designed to make Americans remember. Visit MidwayAirBattle.com. That's MidwayAirBattle.com. And help preserve what so many have already forgotten. Log on now to MidwayAirBattle.com for tour dates and information. The Battle of Midway Air Show Act, coming soon to an air show near you.
Matt here from Warbird Radio Live. You know, we've joked about giving an airplane away on the show, but now we really are. Well, at least a small one. Thanks to our friends at VQ Models, we're giving away an ESM SPD Dauntless. And to win, all you have to do is keep listening to Warbird Radio. When you hear the sound of the SBD starting up, just be the first person to send me an email, and that's it. You're registered to win. So, stay tuned. And who knows? You could be getting an SBD Dauntless for Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Warbird Radio. I'm Don Kennedy, proud to be a part of Warbird Radio programming with our Big Band Jump program several times each week. Tune in. Take off with Warbird Radio.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Wednesday, November 18th, 2009, and I'm your host, Mike Chilson. I want to welcome you to our first show. This show will be rebroadcast through the rest of the week here on Warbird Radio, so you can catch it if you miss it today. Plus, we'll also be making it available on rcscalebuilder.com this weekend as a podcast that you can download and listen to. I want to get started right away. Today we have Nigel Tarvin, who, in my opinion, is probably one of the very finest builders in the world. I think we can all learn a lot from him. Nigel, are you there with us, bud?
I am, Mike.
Well, thank you. I'm doing great. I want to welcome you and thank you for coming on the show and taking the time to talk to us a little bit about your building and your background and everything. You know, you and I have met in Toledo, and of course, I can certainly consider you one of my flying buddies, but by far, you are probably the most talented modeler I've ever met. And you can give me that $5 later for saying that, okay?
Oh, it's gone down to $5, has it?
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Well, thanks very much for the kind words.
Yeah. You and I have talked before, and I understand that that you've done some professional modeling in your past, and you want to talk about that a little bit, and we'll kind of talk about how you got started in RC modeling and your modeling background.
Sure. Yeah. My father has been a modeler most of his life. Boats, airplanes, plastic models, you name it. I've been in the hobby business his whole life, and so I come by all this honestly because just wanted to do the stuff Dad was doing.
Right.
And so building models is something I started doing quite early. But as far as the professional model making stuff, it was really the hobby, and mostly, through the plastic models and flying models, free flight and control line. Once I got out of high school, I was thinking it would be kind of cool to build models for a living,
Sure.
And, what modeler wouldn't want to just build models for a living? And to my amazement, I realized that through a friend that there are actually companies out there that build models for people. And unfortunately, not model airplanes very often, but architectural models and engineering models, topographical models, that sort of thing. So right out of high school, I went to one of those places and talked to them and showed them some of my models. And he'd never seen an RC airplane fly before, so we went down to the local park, and I flew one for him, and I got the job.
Cool.
And I apprenticed as a professional model maker and spent 10 years in that business before I actually left and got into aviation. So I have to say that, you know, the building models for fun got my foot in the door building models professionally. And then, of course, the experience there, learning from some of the best model makers around, you know, how to do all the other types of modeling, it of course helped me with my model airplanes. You know, it gave me all kinds of new techniques, materials, and different set of different viewpoint, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It all contributed to making me a better modeler all around.
Oh, I bet. You know, I would assume that a lot of the you know, weathering methods and texturing methods, you know, seeing your airplanes is obvious you have a pretty good grasp of this. I assume a lot of that you learned over the years, you know, doing your professional modeling and obviously looking at airplanes too.
Yeah. You know, and picking it up like we all do, picking it up from
right.
other modelers.
Right.
You know, and
that's right.
I think that back in the 70s when I was, you know, first building, I did a lot of free flight and control line before I ever got into RC. And in fact, my father never did fly RC. I took that up by myself. And I did something that I, you know, advise anybody not to do. So, and that was teach myself how to fly RC. And of course, we all know how unsuccessful that can be in most cases.
Sure.
But I was fortunate that, you know, I knew how an airplane worked and you know, through free flight and so on. And it wasn't much more than a glorified free flight model with just rudder only. And then I put an elevator on it and I went from there. You know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of my progression. But I think the big difference between then and now is then you had to learn from the people that were immediately around you.
Right.
And so you would tend to gravitate towards the guys that built the really cool scale models because, you know, you kind of aspire to do that. And when I was younger, my models were horrible. My father used to give me a hard time constantly about, you know, see this? It's sandpaper. Why don't you try and use it? You know,
yeah.
Quicker leading edges and, you know, pretty ugly stuff.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, you know, and then you go to the flying field and you see guys with beautiful scale models and your model next to it and you think, something's got to change here.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you start learning patience.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to get into RC scale, as you well know, Mike, you've got to have patience.
Yep, that's right, absolutely.
If you don't, you've got to develop it.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. You touched on something there about picking, you know, methods up from people around you. I kind of did the same thing. You know, I started off in free flight and got into RC scale eventually, but I had two guys locally, you know, that helped me with that. Luckily, a lot of people don't. But it's really interesting, though. You know, I probably spent 5 years picking up, you know, their methods and watching them build things. And, you know, today, I mean, one great thing about the website, which I think you'll probably agree with, is you can go on there and probably pick up techniques that, you know, would have taken years to learn.
Exactly. And that's where I was going with that, is that, yes, back when there was no internet and you had to learn from people around you,
right.
You've got so many more people around you now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's at your fingertips, you know. It's a wonderful resource.
Sure.
I think it can put people on a much faster track to, you know, achieving the kind of models they want to achieve, you know.
Right, right. I agree.
Skill level they want to achieve.
Yep.
That's part of the fun of the hobby is sharing this. You know?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I'll go on record now for saying that it's very much appreciated, the information you share in your build threads. I know a lot of guys appreciate it. And, you know, like you said, it's a lot of fun to share that and help other people learn new techniques. And
absolutely.
But you definitely, you know, you definitely got the corner on the techniques, that's for sure. I know a lot of guys on the site, you mentioned strip planking and your name comes up first thing, you know. So.
Yeah, that's somewhat of a masochistic endeavor.
Yeah, well, you know. And of course our buddy, our mutual buddy Vance, you know, he you know how much he hates strip planking. So you know, he thinks that any of us that do that are masochistic, which he's probably right, you know. So
yeah, I hate to admit it when he's right, but yeah.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
I sure hope he's listening today.
Oh, I hope so too, because I wanted to make sure and get that plug in for him. Well, let me ask you something. What are you working on these days? I know you got a couple of projects kind of in the works. Why don't you tell people what you're working on?
Well, the primary one at the moment is the Lockheed Sirius, which there is a build thread under in the Scratch Builds forum. I started that one a long time ago, and I've been sort of on and off it for quite a while. And I wanted to have it done for next year's season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've gone back hard at it again, and basically it's ready for primer now, so that'll be new for next year. I've also got the prototype of Jerry Bates's 1/4.5 scale Fokker D-21. Fuselage just about finished now.
Right.
I've kind of put that on the back burner just to get over the hump on the Sirius so that it can get into the paint shop. So
yeah.
I'll shortly be back on that again. Those are the only two that are actually really moving at the moment. I've got a Duotine D-520 from Jerry Bates plans that's, as people that know me know, it's sitting in the laundry room, which I'll get back to eventually. That's the problem. I think that's one of the things that we all go through with this hobby.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many airplanes we want to build models of, you know.
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to be able to build them all.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. You know, and I'm surprised Nyla hasn't forced you to move it out of the laundry room yet, you know. I'm sure some comments have been made about that by now. So,
well, you know, I've learned a few things over the years, and one of the things I learned was if you put a real airplane in pieces in the laundry room for a couple of years, and then you take that out and just put models in there, she thinks that's wonderful.
That's great. That's fantastic. Hey, you know, also, I was just remembering the Savoia, you know. Have you flown it anymore since you got back from the Scale Masters?
No. It's now got 3 flights on it.
Awesome. That is a beautiful airplane, by the way. I know a lot of people drool over it every time they see it.
Well, thank you. It was quite a challenge, you know, the engines and all the other working nonsense on it and leading edge slats and so on. But, you know, that's a game part of this hobby, is challenging yourself.
Right.
You know, you're not going to build anything fabulous if you don't try and, you know, bite off a little more each time. And that's not to say that that's for everybody.
Right.
Everybody, you know, not everybody wants to. That's the beauty. That's one of the beauties of this hobby. You can scale a model out as little or as much as you like.
Sure. Sure.
If you don't want to go to all the trouble of building a multi-engine airplane and making all kinds of things work, well, you don't have to. You know, build what makes you happy.
That's right.
That was just something I wanted to do. I wanted to build a multi-engine airplane. And since the real one had leading edge slats, and when I first started, it was, I'm not going to do that because, you know, that's a lot of work for little gain. But the more I got into the project, the more I thought, no, that would be really cool to do that. So, and that's again where the patience comes in too. You have to realize that it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. You know, and, I think a lot of people, especially today, like you touched on earlier, you really have to focus on the patience part of it, you know, and take your time and do it right and try not to rush it. And the great part about this hobby is 99.9% of what you do, if you screw it up, you can redo it, you know?
That's right.
So, you know, I think a lot of people get frustrated and forget that. But
I have to say that to new scale builders that may be finding themselves becoming frustrated,
mm-hmm.
That's part of it. Get used to it. But, you know, please don't get so frustrated you walk away.
Right.
And, you know, I think one of the things that was difficult for me is I've always tended to be a bit of a perfectionist, and whatever I did just didn't seem as good as the next guys, you know?
Yeah.
And that to me, it did 2 things. It drove me to do better, of course, which is a positive thing, but don't take it too much to heart. You know what? If your model doesn't come out as nice as you want it to, that's okay.
That's right.
You know, that's okay. Be proud of what you've accomplished. And then, you know, next airplane, it'll most certainly be better.
That's right. That's right.
If you're happy with the level you've reached and want to stay there, that's good too.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know,
Enjoy the hobby in the way that it works with you, and that's most of it, really.
That's right. If you're just joining in, we're talking to Nigel Tarvin. He's in my opinion, one of the best builders in the world, and I think a lot of people would say that. And if you have any questions for Nigel, take a minute and send us an email to live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll try and get your questions answered. One other question I had for you, which I always find interesting to ask other modelers this. Other than the models that everyone knows about, you know, that you have built, do you have any in the past that were probably one of your favorites that you'd like to do again one day?
Do again one day. Probably not do again one day. I very rarely built the same design twice.
Right.
Simply because of, as we talked about earlier, there's so many airplanes you want to build models of.
Absolutely.
You know, I've done that one. I'm going to move on and do something else. I don't think I've ever built two the same scale airplanes. I've built maybe a couple of the same sport airplanes.
Right.
Because they fly well, and you know, it's not a big commitment. But nothing really comes to mind much. You know, I mean, if there's the quarter-scale Cubs and monocoupes, sure, and, you know, that sort of thing. I think, you know, one I built that I was quite fond of was a Flying Flea, mm-hmm, a scale HM-14 Coup de Ciel, which was known to kill lots of people with its pivoting wing and so on. I do have attention for the oddball as well, so I was drawn to that and built a model of it, and that was quite fun to play with and get it to fly right. And it actually flew very well as a model.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I like the odd airplanes. You know, I like to show up to the field with something and people go, what the heck is that? You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's something to be said for that. What do you got, you know, planned for down the road? I know you and I have talked about this a little bit, about future projects, and you kind of got one, I think, in your eye that I think a lot of people are going to be really looking forward to seeing you build.
Well, yeah, I've been looking at building a Lockheed Constellation. I've had this thought before, and didn't act on it, but you know, now that I've built my first multi-engine airplane, which of course is a Savoia. I just sort of can't stay away. I got to go one more engine now.
Right, right.
And the reason is, I mean, I don't think I've ever met a person, I'm sure they're out there, but I've never met anybody that doesn't like the Constellation. I think it's one of the most beautiful, elegant airplanes ever designed.
Sure, sure.
And, so that's something that's taken my fancy. You know, that's what it's all about, is what turns your crank, really.
Yeah, because you really need that love of the airplane to stay with the project through the finishing stage, you know.
You do. And, you know, as you well know, Mike, it's been perhaps a number of years on the same model. It turns into a love-hate relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You love to hate it. That's right.
Oh, it drives you around the bend sometimes. But, you know, when it's done, it's all worth it.
That's right. That's right. Hey, we got an email in from Chuck Graves. I'm sure there's an inside joke here, but he wanted me to ask you if you're building anything big.
I think that's probably a little tongue-in-cheek, too, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, just a little one. It's only, you know, 11 foot, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I like O'Chuck. He's a good fellow.
That's a great guy. I spent some time with him at the Scale Masters this year.
Oh, he is. He is. I he's really doing the hobby a service with his paints that he sells, Warbird Colors.
Yeah, he is.
And he's a very nice guy, easy to deal with, too. But, well, let's keep going here. You kind of touched on this a little bit. What basic advice would you have for someone, say, who's built a few ARFs and maybe built a kit or two and wants to get into you know, plan building and maybe even scratch building one day. And what advice would you give those people?
I think the most sensible advice, and it's not always the things that I've done, but, you know, that's looking back, someone in that position, I would suggest that, you know, depending on the background, everybody's different.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I would say for your first scale model, scratch build, pick a model that there are good plans available for.
Right.
You know, that's a known, proven design that's been built by many people so that, you know, there's not too much figuring out to do for yourself. And do that.
Yeah.
Because you'll get lots of support. For example, with RC Scale Builder, there'll be lots of support because other people there will have built that model.
Right.
And then, you know, progress from there. You know, I didn't start getting into designing my own scale models until I built enough from, again, starting out with kits and plans. And mind you, I learned to plans build very early on with my father. But,
right.
You know, I think as a progression, a natural progression, I think that's the key to success is don't step too far. Challenge yourself, but don't go too far outside the envelope or you'll just be frustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
And waste a lot of time and money. So, yeah, build a proven design to start with and then go from there, you know. And I think once you've built enough proven designs, you start to get the idea of how to engineer an airframe.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, it only takes a few before you start understanding how these things go together and stay together, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's good advice. I think also the other thing you said earlier is to develop patience. You know, that's key, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess if we're talking about someone who's already built some models, they've already gone the point that they've already joined a club, you know.
Yes.
But to a raw beginner, that's the first thing I tell them.
Yeah.
But we're talking about someone wanting to get into scale, so we're assuming they've already done a lot of this.
And, of course, I'll do a shameless plug for RC Scale Builder and say you need to join there and participate.
Well, you know, yeah, that was a shameless plug. But,
yeah.
You know, but really, it's true. If you're going to be building scale models, and that's not to take anything away from any other websites anywhere.
Right.
But if you're specifically interested in scale building, man, yeah, it's the place to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and... And I'm sure you've seen this too. It's amazing the caliber of some of the models that are on that site. You know, I mean, I think it drives you to be a better modeler when you see that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. You know, and you've some of your comments at the beginning of this show, which are very flattering, and I'm I'm a bit taken aback, but thank you again. But I look at other people on the site and think, man, you know, there's people out there better than me, you know. There always is. You know, I look at some of the work on the site from some of the other guys, and wow, am I impressed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, there's a lot of them. And what's really amazing about it is it's from all over the world, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. You know, it's a smaller world now for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. This is something I like to discuss with other modelers. You know, I kind of have my opinion of this, but I really like to hear what other people have to say. Where do you see this part of the RC hobby 10 years from now? Do you think it's going away? Do you think it's growing? You know, do you think it's changing? Whatever. You know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, changing definitely because things are always changing. That to me is a given. Now the rest of it, man, I don't know. You know, we've seen the proliferation of ARFs over the years,
right?
You know, and that we see more and more and more ARFs all the time. They've been becoming more affordable, and the quality's been getting better. And where's that going to go versus, you know, what we're doing, the scratch building scale model? I don't know. I really hope that I hope it doesn't go all ARFs. And I'm not putting down ARFs because not at all, because they give a lot of people a great deal of enjoyment, and there's quite often a path to building scale models.
That's right.
You know, so it's I just don't want to see what we do lost. I don't want to see the craftsmanship lost.
Yeah.
And the innovation and all that. I'd like to see that continue. And I don't know. I think it will. Whether it's going to grow or decline, that's really anybody's guess, I suppose. I think things tend to go in cycles, and we get instant gratification societies where kids just want stuff now.
Sure.
But you know, people look at stuff that the good scale builders do and think and aspire to it and think, you know, that's something I want to do. So I think the more exposure we have, the better, and the more people we'll have involved.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I really believe ARFs are a good thing for our hobby, for our segment of the hobby, because, like you said, they afford a lot of people the opportunity to fly some nice airplanes without having to invest a huge amount of time to build one.
Exactly.
And what I see happening is, and I'd like to hear your comments on this too, is what I see happening is these guys, they'll buy them a few ARFs, and they decide they want to get a Warbird ARF, and then next thing you know, they've got a P-47 ARF out there that 10 other people have at a fly-in, and that kind of, you know, flips a switch for them, and they decide they want something different, you know. And I think that's a natural lead-in to what our part of the hobby is, you know. And what I think we have to do as a community is come up with a way to attract those people, you know. And I think things like our community on the website go a long way in doing that. You know, we actually, I think, attract a fair amount of new people each year that stay. So that's encouraging. But I think, like we talked about, I think there's a lot of change going on in the hobby because of our society. But I'd like to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, well, you see, I think, we're looking at, for just an example, the Scale Masters, you know, we're looking at the rules again.
Right.
Because things change, you know, and back in the days when we were flying free flight, there was a builder of model rule, and that was that.
Right.
You know, you didn't build the model, and you're not flying it in this competition. Well, again, with ARFs and all that, our society's changing, and the rules have to change with it. Now you can come to an event with a model you didn't build, whether it was an ARF or a model you purchased from somebody else, and there are events for that.
Sure.
So it's back to being a level playing field again.
Right.
You know, the scratch builders are flying against the scratch builders and so on. And I think that the for example, the team scale, I think whoever thought of that's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we all know guys in the club, in our own clubs, that are fantastic builders, but they spend so much time building that they don't fly.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they just may not be able to fly for whatever reason. And then the beauty of this is they team up with a good pilot, and you get to see a beautiful model flown well, and everybody wins.
Right, that's right.
You know, great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, I'm really excited that you've gotten involved in the competition side of it, because I think you'll be a real good spokesperson for that, and quite frankly, that's what I think scale competition needs these days, is someone to talk about these things to modelers and as they like to say, talk the talk and walk the walk. Well, you're doing both,
and it's time I gave back a little too, I feel, you know, and that's one of the reasons I post on RC Scale Builders, because I've spent my life doing this and enjoying it, and there's a lot of gratification in, being able to be a positive influence on the hobby.
Yeah. Well,
to answer your question, I didn't answer your question. I don't really have an answer for you, to be honest.
Okay.
What's going to happen in the future, I don't know. But you know what? That's why we keep altering rules, because we have to keep up with the times.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think a lot of guys lose sight of that, you know, as society changes, the hobby has to change with it, you know. And I think a lot of things have faded away because they would not change, you know, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And, so hopefully, you know, that won't happen. But we'll keep plugging away at it, trying to keep it alive and breathing well, and you know, off the respirator, that kind of stuff. So
yeah, absolutely.
But hey, one other quick thing I was going to let you and our listeners know. Oh, you know about this, Nigel, but the website rcscalebuilder.com, we have a chat room that there's usually people in there through the day most of the time. And I actually monitor it while we're having the show. So if you would like to come in and comment on the show or chat with some other builders, you can just go to rcscalebuilder.com, and under community, you'll see the chat room. You'll have to register and just put in your put in a username and a password and your email address, and then you're in. But there's usually a lot of guys in there. Nigel drops in just about every day for a little while and chats with us. And so I just wanted to let everyone know about that who's listening, that that's another way you communicate with the show. Hopefully, you know, by next week we'll have the phone lines open. But right now we're just taking emails. But I did get one in from Ron Berg. He had a question about you, not for you. He wanted to know how you got to be first.
Do I sense a little jealousy there, perhaps?
I think he does. I mean, you know, I
think that sounds like something Ron would do.
Yes, it does. He's listening right now, I'm sure.
And, I'm sure. I hope he is.
Yeah, so we have to give him a little bit of a hard time. But I tell you one thing, and I think you'll agree with this too, Nigel. One thing that I really enjoy about our website is that it's given me the opportunity to meet a lot of really, really fine, upstanding guys, and that have become friends that normally I would have never got the chance to meet. You know,
absolutely, I couldn't agree more. My circle of modeling friends has expanded exponentially.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let me ask you something. You know, I've got a little tradition here that anybody who comes to see me, they have to sand on one of my airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think I'm going to do for you is the next time you come down to Dothan, I may have to drive down and pick you up, bring you back to the house, and instead of you sanding, I want you to strip plank on my airplane.
Can you do it anything but sanding?
Yeah, really. But
yeah, it sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, me too. You need, we really need to hook up next time you're in, you know, close by. So how's, before we wrap it up, let me ask you, how's that lovely wife of yours doing?
She's marvelous.
Is she listening to your radio debut today?
No, she's working today.
Well, just to let everyone know, this show will be rebroadcast through the week, and we'll have it as a downloadable podcast on the site by the weekend. So you can, you know, drag her over to the computer and make her listen to you, you know.
Yeah, I'll have to bribe her, I suppose.
Yeah, you know. Yes, I had someone listen to the show yesterday who's special to me, and she commented, well, it was nice to hear you, but I had no idea what y'all were talking about, you know. So that was interesting.
Well, but my wife has been around me long enough now to know pretty much exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's part of being successful in this hobby, is having an understanding wife.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, hey, let me ask you one last question.
Mm-hmm.
You got the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with Mitch Baker at the Scale Masters. I want to hear your impression of this man.
Sure.
I've put you on the spot. Yeah.
Listen, there was no payola prearranged before this interview, so I'm not really sure who to side with here. Do I say nice things or do I say bad things? Mitch is a great guy. I was very happy to meet him at the Scale Masters.
He is a great guy. I just like to give him.
A very hardworking guy, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very dedicated to the hobby, for sure.
Boy, is he ever. Yeah.
And,
yeah, he was busy. Man, he was busy the whole weekend.
Yeah.
He wasn't taking pictures. He was doing scoring. But, man, he was just, he's a real asset to the community, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And by the way, I want to thank you for that wonderful picture that you sent me of him.
You know? Oh, you're quite welcome.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite a good angle and great photography, and it was worth sharing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was fabulous. You know, I think you captured the essence of Mitch in that picture.
Do you really? Well, thank you. I thought so, but it's nice to have it confirmed by one of my peers.
Sorry, folks, that was a little inside joke. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more right after this.
June of 1942, on a tiny island in the Pacific, thousands of American warriors fought to defend our way of life. Today, the names, faces, and even the place have all but been forgotten. Until now, the Battle of Midway Air Show Act could be coming to a city near you. See for yourself the passion, the history, and the heart-pounding drama designed to make Americans remember. Visit MidwayAirBattle.com. That's MidwayAirBattle.com. And help preserve what so many have already forgotten. Log on now to MidwayAirBattle.com for tour dates and information. The Battle of Midway Air Show Act, coming soon to an air show near you.
Matt here from Warbird Radio Live. You know, we've joked about giving an airplane away on the show, but now we really are. Well, at least a small one. Thanks to our friends at VQ Models, we're giving away an ESM SPD Dauntless. And to win, all you have to do is keep listening to Warbird Radio. When you hear the sound of the SPD starting up, just be the first person to send me an email, and that's it. You're registered to win. So, stay tuned. And who knows? You could be getting an SPD Dauntless for Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Warbird Radio. I'm Don Kennedy, proud to be a part of Warbird Radio programming with our Big Band Jump program several times each week. Tune in. Take off with Warbird Radio.
This is Warbird Radio.
Welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. Had a couple more things to cover before we wrap it up today on our first buggy show, but we'll work those things out. A couple of things coming up event-wise that you might be interested in. The first one I wanted to talk about was the Southern Dawn Patrol, which will be at Mac Hodges' place December 4th and 5th. If you're a World War One fan or a flyer, you need to attend this. This is a wonderful event in Andersonville, Georgia. Beautiful location to fly. Nothing bad that you can say about it. Also, we've got a new contest coming up this spring called the Blue Max event. This also will be a World War One event, and that will be March 12th and 13th, 2010, at the Fantasy of Flight Museum in Polk City, Florida. One final thing to talk about is the 1/8 Air Force Spring Fly-In, which will be March 13th and 14th, 2010, in Phoenix. Those guys put on a good show, as you know they always do. But I'll have this information up on the thread on RC Scale Builder about this episode of the show, and you can check back after the show in that thread, and all of it will be there. One other thing that I wanted to mention was each week I'm going to recommend a website to you guys to go check out. And it'll be either a modeling or a research or a World War II or a Warbird type site. The one I wanted to send you to this week is called 12 O'Clock High. And it's really more of a research-oriented website. There's a lot of people on that site that have written historical books about aircraft, both Axis and Allied. And there's a lot of good information if you're researching a subject. It's just simply www.12oclockhigh.net. This also will be in the thread for the show. And that information will be available shortly after the show. Some other things I'd like to bring up while I'm sitting here is we're wrapping this up is I'd like to hear from you guys about the show, what you think about it, what you like, what you don't like, what you would like to see or hear, and email us. You can email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and I'd love to hear from you and answer your questions on the air. If you have any, you know, specific questions, I really don't want to get into building type questions, but if you're looking for something and you're having problems finding a resource, shoot us an email. You know, between the folks that we know, we might be able to find it for you. And if we do, we'll read it on the air and let everybody else know too. But I appreciate Nigel coming on today. It was great to hear from him. Nigel's a great guy. And if you ever get the opportunity to meet him and spend some time with him, he's a lot of fun to talk to. But that's really about it. That's about all we have for today. And I want to, you know, hope you enjoyed the show and thank you for listening, those of you that did. And hopefully we'll get some of these bugs worked out. We'll be back next week with another good interview and more information about what's going on in RC. Thanks for listening, and be sure and keep listening for more great programming here on Warbird Radio.